Opening your Bibles with me this morning to the book of Deuteronomy and the third chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 3, and I'll be reading from verse 21 through the end of the chapter. A most amazing passage where Moses cries out to God. And he says, God, the Lord, would not hear me. Deuteronomy chapter 1, and I'll begin our scripture reading in verse 21 and read through 29. And I commanded Joshua at that time, saying, thine eyes have seen all that the Lord your God hath done to these two kings. So shall the Lord do unto all the kingdoms whither thou passest. Ye shall not fear them, for the Lord your God shall fight for you. And I besought the Lord at that time, saying, O Lord God, thou hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness and thy mighty hand, for what God is there in heaven or in earth that can do according to thy works and according to thy might? I pray thee, let me go over and see that good land that is beyond Jordan, that goodly mountain and Lebanon. But the Lord was wroth with me for your sake, and would not hear me. And the Lord said unto me, let it suffice thee, speak no more unto me of this matter. Get thee up into the top of Pisgah, and lift up thine eyes westward and northward and southward and eastward, and behold it with thine eyes, for thou shalt not go over this Jordan. But I charge thee, Joshua, and encourage him, but charge Joshua, and encourage him, and strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which thou shalt see. So we abode in the valley over against Beth Peor. Let's bow for prayer. Father, now as we approach your word, Father, we pray that the entrance of thy word will give us light. Father, encourage us. We so often become weary in our prayerfulness. We so often fret when our prayers are not answered according to our will. But Father, teach us from your word this day that your way is indeed perfect, that your answers to prayer are always good and always to the purpose which you intend. Father, encourage us, bless us, edify us this morning. Grant utterance in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text will be that 26th verse of the chapter where Moses says, but the Lord was wroth with me for your sakes and would not hear me. And the Lord said unto me, let it suffice thee, speak no more unto me of this matter. God told Moses, don't pray about this anymore. It's done. It's finished. Those of us who have been blessed to have children, I'm sure at some time or another have said to a child, enough! Don't ask that again. I have answered. I said no, and I meant no. Or I said do it, and I meant do it. My dad used to say, when I say jump, you jump and ask how high after you leave the ground. When God says go, he means go. When he says stay, he means stay. But we read in Mark 11 and verse 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And we spoke briefly on Wednesday night about that present active indicative of Greek verbs, where the meaning of a present active indicative verb is an action that's already accomplished, it's already done. And there we find believe. In other words, believe that God's already answered the prayer, and that ye receive. In other words, believe that you've already received it. Believe that God has already done it. Now, don't worry, I'm not going to preach the prosperity gospel this morning. That verse has been used abundantly by those who preach wealth and prosperity, which the Bible never promises to his people. But the promise is there that if we pray believing, we will receive. And then again, we have James 1 and verse 6, but let him that ask, or let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea. And the first thing I would like us to see from Deuteronomy 3 and verse 26, and the verses surrounding it, that Moses was asking according to the word of God. Moses was asking rightly. He was right to pray, and he was praying for that which was right. His prayer was a prayer of faith in the promise of God. Look at verse 21 in Deuteronomy 3. He says, I commanded Joshua at that time, saying, thine eyes have seen all that the Lord God hath done unto these two kings. So shall the Lord do unto all the kingdoms whither thou goest. Remember when the spies went out and they came back and said, there's giants there. The spies went out and they said, you know, we're like grasshoppers. We cannot, their cities are walled cities. But here Moses is saying, let me go over, let me see the land. And he is praying in faith. He's telling Joshua, the Lord defeated the kings on this side of the Jordan. He's going to defeat the kings there. He's asking in faith. He's saying that God will fulfill his promise. In Deuteronomy 11 and 25, God promises that no man shall be able to stand before thee. That was a promise given later to Joshua. But it was a promise that Moses believed. No man shall be able to stand before thee. Moses is praying in full faith of the presence of God. Look at verse 22. Ye shall not fear them. Remember the 12 spies again, they were afraid of them. Ye shall not fear them, for the Lord your God shall fight for you. God is with us. And remember many times when the children of Israel murmured, is God with us or not? Well, here Moses is praying in faith that God is with us. He's praying that God will answer that prayer. At the Red Sea, Moses had told the people, fear not, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord. He is praying in faith that God will do everything he said he will do. And so Moses' prayer is a prayer of faith in the power of God. He has no doubt that God is able to give them the land. And if you look again at our text in verses 23 and 24, he says, I besought the Lord, saying, O Lord God, thou hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness and thy mighty hand, for what God is there in heaven or on earth that can do according to the works, to thy works and according to thy mighty hand? It would appear from everything in Moses' prayer that he is meeting the requirements of Mark 11:24. And he's meeting the requirements of James 1, verse 6. He's praying the way we ought to pray, and yet he says the Lord wouldn't hear me. The Lord wouldn't hear my prayer. We find also that Moses is praying for a good thing. He's praying for that which would bring honor to God. He's not praying for his own position. He's not praying for wealth. He's not praying amiss. He's praying for a good thing. He wants to go over and see the good land. Look at verse 25. I pray thee, let me go over and see the good land that is beyond Jordan, that goodly mountain and Lebanon. He hasn't seen it. The 12 spies saw it. Remember what two of the spies said about it? Ah, it indeed is a good land. A land that floweth with milk and honey. We read there in our call to, in our responsive reading, where the children of Israel said, it's not a land of figs. It's this place you brought us. There's no seed here. There's no. This isn't what we were promised. Did you ever eat in a restaurant and you order something off the menu and there's this beautiful picture there beside the thing? And it comes out and that, instead of being that beautiful plate you saw, it looks like a pile of slop. I mean, it's just all piled in there. And you start eating it and think, this doesn't taste very good either. This is not what you promised me. That's what the children of Israel were doing there at the water of Meribah. There's no figs here. It's not a land of figs. There's no seed here. There's no water here. Well, they hadn't gotten there yet because of their sin at Kadesh Barnea. But the two spies had said, indeed, it is a good land. It's a glorious land. And when the spies came back, they brought a bunch of grapes. And the bunch of grapes was so big that two men carried it on their shoulders. It was a good land. And what Moses is praying for is a good thing. He says, Lord, I want to see it. I want to see the good land. But also he says, in that goodly mountain. Scripture does not tell us specifically which mountain he's referring to. And so we have to use a bit of caution or parentheses with this comment. But Jewish tradition, not scripture, Jewish tradition links together the Temple Mount and Horeb and this mount. In other words, the rabbis would say that what Moses was praying was he wanted to see the mountain where the house of God would be built. And that follows because Moses said, my eyes aren't finding all my notes. My eyes aren't finding all my notes here. I know I've got it. There it is. In Deuteronomy 12 in verse 5. But unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all the tribes to put thy name there, even unto thy holy habitation shall they seek. In other words, God would choose the mountain. And the other verse I was looking for was at the Red Sea in Exodus 15 and verse 2. He says, the Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation, my God, and I will prepare him an habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. In other words, at the Red Sea, Moses said, I'm going to prepare a habitation for God. And it may have been when Moses was desiring to go into the land, he said, I want to build it. I've made a tabernacle here in the wilderness, a place for to dwell, but that was a temporary place. But I want to see that mountain. I want to see the final place where the ark of God will rest, where the staves will be taken out, and where it will remain. So Moses is praying here for a good thing. Remember David also. David wanted to build the temple of God, and God said to David, no. No, you won't build the temple. Your son Solomon will build it, but not you. Moses, no, you're not going into the land. You consecrate Joshua. Joshua will lead into the land. But we also know from the passage that not only was Moses praying in faith, praying rightly, and praying for a good thing, Moses knew why God was not answering his prayer. If you look at verse 26 again, here Moses confesses, the Lord was wroth with me for your sakes, and would not hear me. And the Lord said unto me, let it suffice thee. Speak no more unto me of this matter. And in the first chapter of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy 1 and verse 37, also the Lord was angry with me for your sake, saying, thou shalt not go in thither. And in Psalm 106:32, they angered him before the waters of strife, so that it went ill with Moses, for your sakes. And we read there in our responsive reading that in Numbers chapter 20, God tells Moses to take the rod and go and stand before the rock and speak to the rock. And God says, I will bring out water. Now remember back in Numbers 17, a similar situation where God had told Moses to take the rod and there to strike the rock. And this second time, as we read in our call to worship, there Moses and Aaron stand before the congregation and say, "You rebels! You inconsiderate! You complainers! You rebels! Must we bring water from the rock?" Could Moses and Aaron bring water from the rock? And so Moses, rather than speaking to God the rock as he was told, he takes his rod and he strikes it. And I believe the first time he struck it, nothing happened. Because it said he struck it twice. And he strikes it again. And God grants water. Not because of the disobedience of Joshua, but because God's people needed water. But God says to Moses and Aaron, "You're not going into the land. You're not going in because you did not sanctify me before the people." And yet it says later the Lord was sanctified, but not through the instrumentality of his servant, but rather through the glory of God. Moses knows what God has said. He knows God has said, "You cannot go in." And yet he still prays for it. And this is very interesting. Because we've already established that Moses is praying according to the will of God. He's following the principles God's laid down. We've already established the thing for which he's praying is a good thing. He's not praying to consume it upon his lust. And he continues to pray. I believe that Adam and Eve probably begged with God, "Let us back in. Let us back in." And God said no. We find with David and the child born of sin with Bathsheba, the child who's of the wife of Uriah, but not the seed of Uriah. And we find David pleading before the Lord for the life of this infant child. And he pleads and pleads, and the servants are ashamed to go in. And when the child dies, they say, "We better not tell him if he mourned so much before the child was born. Now, what shall he do?" And yet when the child is born, David bathes himself and washes. And there David proclaims, "Therefore besought I the Lord for the child. And David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the ground." But then when the child has died and the servants say, "We don't understand what is happening now," David said, "While the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, 'Who can tell whether God will be gracious unto me that the child may live?'" What we have here in the prayer of Moses and in the prayer of David are two men that have sinned. And they know it. And I believe in both cases, they have earnestly repented of their sin. They're sorry for the sin. And they are pleading with God to remove the consequence of that sin. And God says, "No. No. Sin has its consequences." I'm sure all of us either know someone or have known of someone who, through their own rebellion against God, has brought great physical harm upon themselves, possibly the maiming of their bodies, the injuring of their bodies, or have brought great burdens upon them. They've squandered the provision of God for them, and now they're in poverty because that which was given to them by the mercies of God, the provision of God, was squandered in riotous living. You know a young man that did that? And God He says, no. I will forgive the sin, but the consequences will remain with you. But then we find also in Scripture times when God says no, and godly men continue to plead, and there's no sin involved. Consider Hezekiah in Isaiah 8, or 38 in verse 2. Then Hezekiah, or Isaiah tells Hezekiah that he's going to die. Then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord and said, remember now, Lord God, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which was good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Hezekiah says, Lord, the prophet has said, at your bidding, I'm going to die. But Lord, remember, I've walked with a perfect heart. I've done that which is right, which is right. And Hezekiah pleads with God, Lord, let me live. And in that case, God is gracious to Hezekiah and adds to his life 15 years. And see, my friend, what we're learning from Scripture here is that there are times when it seems to us that God has said no, and it may be that God indeed has said no, and yet don't give up on your prayers. Continue in prayer. Continue to plead before God. And then again, we have the case of Elijah. Elijah has just come from Mount Carmel. Fire has fallen from heaven. It has burned up the water. It has burned up the sacrifice. It's burned up the rocks and even the water in the trench around the sacrifice. And Jezebel says, I'm going to kill you. Jezebel says, the gods do so to me, and more also, if I make not thy life like one of these prophets by evening. And I've always thought that was interesting, because she was talking about the gods that couldn't give fire on Carmel. She was talking about old Baal, that the prophets cut themselves and there was nobody to hear. And so Elijah runs into the wilderness. And in 1 Kings 9, verse 14, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree and requested for himself that he might die, and said, is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am no better than my father's. My dad used to preach a sermon that he titled The Most Foolish Prayer in the Bible. And this was the prayer. Elijah praying that he might die. And my father always said, if Elijah wanted the prayer answered, why did he run? Because Jezebel would have answered it for him. She was ready to kill him. He didn't really want to die. But here we find the prophet praying for God, praying to God that he might die. And God says no. God sends an angel, and there's some food and a cakes and a cruse of water. And he says, you know, arise, wake up, eat. And Elijah lays down and sleeps again, wakes up the second time, and he goes in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights, so he comes to the mountain of the Lord. If God had have answered Elijah's prayer in the wilderness, there never would have been a chariot of fire. If God had have answered Elijah's prayer in the wilderness, he never would have trained young Elisha. Elisha comes along later, and he trains Elisha to carry on the work. And when Elijah dies, Elisha receives a double portion of the spirit of Elijah. If Elijah had have died there in the wilderness, his body would have been not buried, but rather consumed by the wild beasts. But instead, his body didn't die. He was carried to heaven. And so, friends, there are times when we pray earnestly, and God says no. But I guarantee you, God never says no if he doesn't have something better. Because David pled for that child that died, but then God gave him Solomon. Elijah pled to die in the wilderness, and God said no, God would not hear him. Hush, eat. You're hungry. I've got a chariot of fire waiting, and there's still work for you to do. You see, we, in our extremities, pray for what seems good. We, in our times of confusion, pray for what we desire. And God often says no, but He always has a reason and a purpose. And then further, we find the case of Daniel, where Daniel is praying earnestly that God will reveal to him the meaning of the vision. And the angel comes and says, I was sent the day you began to pray, but the prince of Persia withstood me. But now I'm come, Daniel, thou most beloved. And so, we saw in our call to worship this morning, the apostle Paul, who was given a thorn in the flesh. And he says there, I prayed thrice that God would remove it. And God said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in worship. And my strength is made perfect in weakness. Excuse me, my tongue gets ahead of my brain sometimes. But the verse before that, Paul explains that he understands why God had given him the thorn in the flesh. He says, lest I should be exalted above measure in the abundance of the revelation. Paul says, God has given me great spiritual gifts and great spiritual understanding. Paul understands that as he is writing to these churches, he is not coming up with the message himself, but God is giving him the word. And Paul says, if God had not given me this thorn in the flesh that I prayed three times, Lord, remove it, I would have been exalted above measure. I would have become proud, Paul says. And he understood that pride goeth before a fall, and a haughty look before destruction. And so, brethren, pray. And pray some more, and then pray some more. Keep praying until God says, stop it. Don't give up on your prayers. God, you know I've sinned. You know, Lord, I struck the rock twice when you said, speak. But, oh Lord, let me go into the good land. Lord, I plead for this child. Lord, you know this child is the product of my murderous adultery. But, oh Lord, spare this child, David prayed. But God knew better. God had a better end. As for God, His way is perfect. Remember the illustration that Christ gave us of praying with importunity. And when the neighbor goes to his fellow and asks for loaves of bread in Luke 11, I say unto you, though he will not rise to give him because he is a friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. But coming back to verse 26. But the Lord was wroth with me for your sakes. They had provoked Moses. Moses could have made excuse for his sin. Do you ever see Moses making excuse for his sin? Was it Moses that sinned? Yes. Was it the people's complaining that led him to sin? Yes. Who was responsible for Moses' sin? It was Moses. But the Lord was wroth with me for your sakes and would not hear me. And the Lord said unto me, let it suffice thee. Speak no more unto me of this. God said to Moses, Moses, be content. Remember the message last week on contentment? Moses, be content. Let it suffice thee. I have something good for you. Maybe not what you want, but I have something good for you. Let it suffice thee. Speak no more unto me of this. And I believe, though Paul does not say it, I believe that's what Paul says about his thorn in the flesh. God said, my grace is sufficient for thee. Let it suffice thee. And Paul doesn't say that God said, speak no more unto me of this, but I believe it's implied in Paul's answer. I have this thorn in the flesh. Oh Lord, I could do so much more without it. Lord, the ministry would go further without this thorn in the flesh. Lord, I can see all kinds of good if you would just do this thing. God says to Paul, no, my grace is sufficient. That's all you need, Paul. You don't need your eyes. You need my grace. Moses, be content. Moses, let it suffice for thee. Speak no more unto me of this. God said, stop praying. Isn't that interesting? God said, stop praying. And I believe possibly some of you could testify of that same thing where you prayed about something, and finally, in your heart, you knew it's, no, the Lord doesn't want me praying about that anymore. I've had that experience. I won't ask you to raise your hand, but things we have prayed for. God is perfect in all his doings. Turn with me to chapter 34 of Deuteronomy. In the same book we're in, but the 34th chapter. And there, in the 34th chapter, we find the death of Moses. Verse 1, and Moses went up into the plains of Moab, under the mountain of Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, that is, over against Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan, and all Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah unto the uttermost sea, and the south, and the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees unto Zorah. And the Lord said unto him, this is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, unto Jacob, I will give it unto thy seed. I will cause thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go thither, over thither. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in the valley in the land of Moab, over against Beth Peor. But no man knoweth his sepulchre unto this day. Notice it says, and he buried him. Who is the he? It's God. It's not Joshua. It's not Moses' children. We find Jacob and Esau burying their father. It's not his children. God buried him, and nobody knows where. Nobody knows the sepulcher. What an insignificant little piece of trivia. No, we come to the book of Jude. And in Jude, verse 9, chapter 1, verse 9, there's only one chapter in Jude. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. For some reason, Satan wanted Moses' body. If Joshua had have buried him, I guarantee you Satan would know where it was, because Satan knows the thoughts of man. But who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? You see, unbeknownst to Moses, there was some evil determined regarding his body. And God did not allow man to bury that body, nor did he allow man to know where it was buried. Only God knows. But Lord, I want to go over and see the good land. God says, no, Moses. No. I'm Alpha and Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. I know all things. I know what is best. I can see that which you cannot see. And so God said no. But there's more. Because the children of Israel in the wilderness, who sinned at Kadesh Barnea and did not believe and therefore died in the wilderness, because of their sin, because of their rebellion, they were never allowed to see the promised land. The Word of God tells us, Christ said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. Those who died in unbelief, who were held up in the book of Hebrews as examples of unbelief, they never made it because they didn't believe. But Moses, on the other hand, is a man of faith who believes, and he was allowed to see the kingdom. He was allowed to view from Jordan's side into the kingdom that was promised. But there's yet more. Because when God said the children of Israel that sinned at Kadesh Barnea would not enter in, God declared that with an oath. God declared with an oath that they would not enter therein. This is in, I'm sorry folks, I've got my notes in all kinds of disarray this morning. Here we go. In Psalm 95, verses 10 and 11, 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their hearts. They have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter therein. And again in Numbers 14, verse 28 and 29, I say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do. Your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness. But Moses was not among those who God said their carcasses would fall in the wilderness. And his carcass didn't fall in the wilderness. God buried Moses. But yet there's one more thing from this passage that is just glorious and a thrill to my heart. The Lord was wroth with me for your sakes, and would not hear me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. God, the Father, was angry with Christ for my sake. God the Father was angry with His Son because of the sins of the elect. And there in the garden we find Christ praying, just as Moses prayed, Lord, I know what You've said, but if it be possible, remove this cup. And the Lord would not hear his prayer. God the Father said no, because there was something better. And the better was the salvation of my soul. May we be encouraged to pray. May we be encouraged to keep praying despite of all discouragements. When God does not answer our prayers the way we want them answered, may we learn that God's way is better than our way. God has something better when He says no. And may we rejoice that God the Father would not hear the prayer of the Son on my behalf for my good. Let us stand for prayer. Father, we thank You for Your word. Father, we thank You that Your word is not bound. We pray the Scriptures, and praying, may the word of the Lord have free course and be glorified. Father, You have given stumbling and stammering lips to Your servants, but You've given free course to the word of God. Father, bless Your word to the hearts of Your people this day. May they be edified. May they be convicted. May we be burdened to pray. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.